God, we thank you for your presence in this place this evening. You are here with us right now. And as we just sung, you are our Savior. You're the one who rescues us, redeems us, restores us, renews us, refreshes us. And many of us this evening, we need that right now. That it's coming towards the end of 2017, and for some of us, this one was a doozy. And we are in need of your refreshment. And it's good to know that your mercies are new every morning. Every day we get a fresh start. And so we look towards 2018 and we begin to think, prepare, plan, and most importantly, pray. And so God, we look forward to this next year. As we know that you will be with us then, as you are with us right now. And so we give this time to you. We continue to give this time to you. But this time, we want to learn a little bit. And may, when we sit in this place of learning, may we not just use it for information, but we may recognize that you're transforming us from the inside out. And so we submit to that, and we are open to what you have to say to us in this moment. May we hear your voice in whichever way you decide to communicate as we're with you this evening. We love you, Jesus, so much. In your name, we all said?
Amen.
All right, you may be seated. You can stay standing, too. It's your call. See how that works. Hopefully you have comfy shoes. How are we? Yeah? Hey, all right. The new year is coming up. I think it's Monday, right? Is the new year Monday? Sunday is New Year's Eve. Watch out. All across the United States, we're making decisions. We're thinking about doing a few things. We're either looking at our life and thinking about the things that we would like to change, what we would like to better, or what we would like to start. Those are called New Year's resolutions, right? Things that we want to do when it comes to 2018. And so this evening, what I want to do is I want to look at a few thoughts when it comes to New Year's resolutions. There's always someone better at whatever you're doing. If that's your work, there's always someone better. If that's you like playing tennis, there's always someone better. There's always someone that you look to like, okay, what's the secret sauce? What are you doing? How are you doing that? I want to be like that. Not in an envious way, not in a jealous way, but just in a way of like, hey, you know what? I really want to be like that. I want to be good at what I'm doing. For myself, when it comes to public speaking, I do this a lot. I do it often. I do it every week. I do it here. I do it at other locations and other places and other things. It's constant. And I'm always seeing people who are better than me, and I'm like, how did they do that? There's a lot going on when you're up here. It's more than just mustering up enough courage to get up here and actually do it, right? That takes a lot. It takes a lot when it comes to public speaking. That's why most people don't like it. But once you get up here, there's a whole nother dynamic of things that you're doing. And so I sit with people who are better than me, and I ask them, how did you get to this place where you're just like, man, you got it going on. It's like you're not even looking at your notes. You're not even doing any. How are you doing that? How can you connect the people and engage them in such a way? How did you do that? And every single time, I'm like, what's the big thing? Tell me the big secret. Let me in on it, man. What's the secret sauce? Tell me about it. And every single time they tell me, Sean, it's just little yeses that make this happen. Over the years, I've said yes to this, 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 and this, and I continue to say yes to these small things. And when we say yes to the small things, it ends up becoming something bigger. But that's how life works. That when it comes to public communication, there's so many things you could say yes to. Memorization is a big one, right? You can learn how to memorize. You can say yes to all these little things. So focus in on memorization. Or when it comes to how you're, just the fluctuation of your voice. How high you talk. How low you talk. the speed in which you talk really fast, which I like to do, or talking very slow. Hand gestures, body language, being present of what your hands are doing so it's not awkward and everyone's like, what is he doing? Why is he doing this? What is this? What is this? Right? There's so many different dynamics to timing, to being present with your audience, to knowing the audience in which you're speaking to understanding where they're coming from, know their heartbeat, to not just say things in your mind that you've memorized, but then to allow it to seep into your heart so that you can feel what you're sharing. So there's an emotional connection. There's so many things that you can do with the gift or talent that you've been given. And I, for myself, always want to improve and become better. But because there's so many things you can do, because there's a time where we want to change things and do things and improve things, stop things, make things better, a lot of times there's so much stuff that we end up going for it all, and then by the third week of January, we're over it. Right? Where it's like, okay, I'm going to become a better speaker, I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to eat like this, I'm going to go straight vegan because I've watched all these documentaries that make me super scared, all the food I'm eating, and I'm going to do this and this and that and that and the other, and right? And then we go for it, and by like the third week of January, we're like, McDonald's sounds great, my gym membership's just, you know, I'm over it, and I'm just going to keep going back to what I'm normally doing. So what does it look like to make change? What does it look like to make a change, to improve, to become better? What does that all look like? How does that all work? What I've realized is that it's often the small things that no one sees that results in big things that people want. And it's focusing in on that. And so what we're going to look at here are three things. We're going to look at the Holy Spirit's empowerment. We're going to look at small beginnings. And then we're going to look at when Scripture says this phrase, one thing. Or in other words, focus. And what we'll begin to discover is the launch pad to change. Big change, but big change starts small. Sound good? Okay, Zechariah chapter 4 is where we will begin. We're going to jump around a little bit after that, but if you want to open up to that, you can. During this time in the Old Testament, the Israelites were without a land. They were taken captive. They don't have a land. They don't have a temple, which means they don't have an identity, essentially. They don't have a place to be a community, to thrive, or to worship God. They don't have it. It's not there. And so it's a sad time. It's a downtime for the Israelites. But then there's a guy who, when you say his name, it sounds like you're stuttering, but you're really not. But there's a guy named Zerubbabel. Yeah? See? There's a guy named Zerubbabel, and he takes up some of the guys, and they go in, and they take over the land. And so they take captive of Israel. They usher in the kingdom there, and he becomes king. And then 18 years later after that, around 536 B.C. is when he comes in, and then 18 years after that, God begins to speak to him, saying, I want you to make a change. I want you to do something different that hasn't been here. And that is, I want you to rebuild the temple. I want you to build it. You're going to do it. And then Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 6, says this. It says, then he said to me, this is what the Lord says to Zerubbabel. It is not by force, nor by strength, notice here, but by my, what? Spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. In other words, the temple's not going to be built on just your strength, on just your handiwork. Rather, the temple will be built by my Spirit. Here's the thing when it comes to change for our own life. We can change. We can make changes. Totally. We can make incremental changes. We can do some stuff to make some changes. But if we tap into the power of the Holy Spirit, He's not just going to make changes in your life. He's going to completely transform it. And that's what we need to recognize when it comes to initiating change in our life, is not trying to rest solely on our strength. Because there's some stuff in our lives that we've been trying to change for a while, haven't we? That the New Year's resolution was something that we wanted to do in 2016, that we planned in 2015, that we thought of in 2014, and now we're back at it again. And we're like, I need to make a change. And what's that difference? It's the power of God moving in and through our lives. That's the difference. It's not by your strength. Solely, you're going to do stuff. It's not like you're just going to sit back and God's going to be like, la la, like, here's a six pack, you know, while you sit on the couch. No, you got to get up and do stuff, right? But it is going to be by the empowerment of the Spirit of God who is going to give you the capacity to change because he's the one who makes it happen. And so when it comes to change, when it comes to making decisions to change, when it comes to New Year's resolutions, when it comes to being better, whatever that is, it's first and foremost relying on the Spirit of God to make the change. And he does it. And he does it all the time. And he's doing it right now. So if we want to make a change alone, not going to happen. And that's what he tells Zerubbabel. He says, I'm going to give you my power to rebuild this temple. And I believe God is telling us the same. I'm going to give you the power to change. I'm going to empower you. Whatever you are feeling, like, you know what? This season, it's time for me to work out. I'm going to get in shape. I believe that God is going to give you the power to do that if you are willing to let him in and say, okay, I surrender. Now you do your work as I take that next step forward, right? And watch as the empowerment of the Holy Spirit begins to move in and through our lives as we continue to take those next steps forward. Story continues. Verse 7 says this, nothing, not even a mighty mountain, will stand in Zerubbabel's way. It will become a level plain before him. In other words, God's saying, I'm bigger than created things. I created the things. I'm bigger than them. Nothing is going to get in the way of what God wants you to do and where he's going to take you. Nothing. Because he's in control. So sometimes when it comes to planning in 2018, and what am I going to do? If I pursue that, what happens if this happens? Just stop. He's bigger than that. He's bigger than that. And he will take you where you need to be. And who he has called you to be, he will create within you. Trust him in that. Goes on and says, and when Zerubbabel sets the final stone of the temple in place, the people will shout, may God bless it. May God bless it. And I love the fact right here that before the construction even begins, God already sees the end. He already sees it. Before we even attempt to do what God puts on our hearts, God knows the results. And all we got to do is just surrender to it. He knows what's going to go on. He already sees it. And in the end, it's blessing. Praising God. The results are good. It's victory, right? It's good. It's real good. Story continues, verse 8. Then another message came to me from the Lord. Zerubbabel is the one who will lay the foundation of this temple, and he will complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of heaven's armies has sent me. Now let's pause here for a second. How many of us know that when it comes to construction and building things, that sometimes it doesn't always go as planned? Now, whatever that may be, and for whatever reason that may be, it's not always a smooth ride, that there are times of pausing, moments of, I didn't budget that, I didn't think that was going to be a part of it. There's all kinds of stuff that happens when it comes to building. And in this part of history, with Zerubbabel building the temple, there's another book called the Book of Ezra that talks about that same time frame. And in the Book of Ezra, it says that the people saw the building of the temple and they literally were crying. They weren't, what most people believe, they weren't necessarily crying because of, oh my goodness, they're building the temple, it's so good. They were crying because they're looking at it going, what is that? What are they doing? What is happening? That's all you've done? That's all you've got? That doesn't look good at all. That they're looking at this going, man, there's a lot of work to be done. This is not good. And yet how many of us can feel like that when it comes to beginning something? And we're at the gym. It's day 3. Next week, right? Okay, let's get there. It's going to happen. And you're at the gym, and you're running on the treadmill, and you're like, yeah, and you're going for it, man. You're sweating. It's crazy. And you're like, yes, this is so good. And you get done, and you're like, all right. And you go on the scale, First of all, don't do that. Bad situation. But you get on the scale and you look at your weight and you've lost 1 pound. And you're like, how is this even possible? There's so much that needs to change, right? There's so much that needs to go on. How is that even possible? And it's like you almost start crying, like, what is this? Well, we're not going to get anywhere with that. We're not going to get anywhere with it. What is going on? I've got all these changes. I'm trying hard. And it just seems like, man, I go for 3 days, and then I fail, and I eat McDonald's, and I'm back to zero. Or whatever it is, right? There's these small beginnings, and when we have these small beginnings, we have these little failures when it comes to starting them, and oftentimes we beat ourselves up and we just give up. Don't give up. Don't get down on the small beginnings. That's how you start. When I was, I was in high school. I don't know exactly when. I forget. I was tiny. 130 pounds. Tiny. And I wanted to go to the gym. And I'm like, got to start somewhere. Let's go to the gym. So I went to SC Gym down in El Camino Real by Del Mar. Still there. It hasn't changed. It looks the same. And when I went in there, I saw one of my old water polo coaches when I was a little kid. And he's like, hey, what are you doing here? I'm like, it's time for me to work out. I'm gonna lift some weights. He's like, let me show you the ropes. And so he showed me some things. Showed me three things. He showed me like the lat pull down, showed me, you know, dumbbells and like just some different movements, and then he showed me the bench press, right? Not the machine one, but like the bar, and he's like, let's see here. I'm going to put a 35 and a 35 on each side, and I'm just going to watch you do it. And so I'm like, all right. So I went up there, and I did it. My arms are shaking because I've never worked out before in my entire life, right? It happens when you start working out. If you're going to go to the gym and you're planning on it, just be prepared for your arms to shake. It's going to happen. Don't worry. It'll change. But I started shaking, you know, and I'm like, just... That was what I did. And every day I'd go in and I'd do the same thing. Every day, except for Sunday, but every day I'd go in and I'd do that same routine. It wasn't very long, it was like 45 minutes. And I wouldn't change anything because I was afraid. I don't know. What if I put more weight on? What if I can't do it? I know that I don't need anyone else to help me, so I could just keep doing 35s. So I just kept doing that. And I wasn't even paying attention to how many I was doing, I was just doing them. Just kept doing it slowly, every single day for 5 months. And then Hell Week showed up. For water polo. That's what they call it. It's Hell Week. It's actually Hell Weeks. It's 2 weeks of hell. And when we, the first day of Hell Week, we showed up and it was like, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a strength test. We're all going to start clean. We're going to see how strong we are when it comes to our team. We're going to jot it down. Then we're going to work and progress throughout the season so that we can get stronger. So we're going to max out today. I said, okay, great. Let's max out. I'm in. And so we get to the bench press. I'm like, I know how to do the bench press. Cool. 130-pound Sean, skinny little guy. Come over there, and I sit down. I lay down, and he's like, all right, yeah, just put 35s on there. And they're like, okay, one. I'm like, all I got to do is one? Yeah, we're maxing out, Sean, one. I'm like, oh, well, that's easy. Put more on there. Put 45s. Okay, 45s. Boom. Done. Okay, let's put 25s with the 45s. Okay, put 25s with 45s. Done. Boom. Okay, let's put 35s with the 45s. And slowly, the entire team starts going, what is this little kid doing? And then all of a sudden, I'm like, ah, oh, put two 45s on each side. And they're like, no, which is basically 100 pounds over my weight. It's 225 pounds. And all of a sudden, they come over, and I lift the thing up, and I'm just like, boom, and put it up. And everyone's like, what was that? How's that even possible? How did you get, look at you. My coach is like, how much you weigh, Sean? 130 pounds? What in the world? What do you got going on there? I don't know. I just did some small stuff every single day for the past 5 months. 35 pounds? Yeah, boom. I don't know, right? Now, if I were to walk into the gym day one, and I'm like, 35 pounds, and then I'm like, you know what? This is just no good. I don't know. It's not that good. And just give up, there's not going to be any change happening. That takes little yeses for something big to occur within our lives. From that moment forward, the gym became a whole nother ball game, and I loved it as I began to work out more and more and more. But it started with 130 pound Sean lifting 35 pounds on each side, bench press, slowly, and slowly progressed. Now, there are some people who take substances to increase and maximize and go further. Now, I'm not going to harp on that. That's fine if people want to do that, but you can do it naturally, but it's a slower process, and it starts smaller in which way it moves. So when it comes to us, when it comes to the small beginnings that you have, don't give up. Don't give up. That's how it works. If you're trying to quit something, quit drinking, quit smoking, quit something, it's small beginnings. That's how it works. It's small. Take it one step at a time. The story continues in verse 10. It says this, do not despise these, what? Small beginnings. For the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. We're always focused on finishing the work. And then he'll rejoice. He's like, no, I'm rejoicing right now. Yeah, do it. What is it? What do you want to change? What do you want to see happen? I'm going to empower you. Celebrate the small beginnings because that's how it works. And slowly, over time, you will begin to see this massive change happen in your life. And know that God is rejoicing right now. I think the problem, though, for many of us is one of the major challenges that we see people's highlight reels. And we compare their highlight reel to our reality. We compare the two. That's why I think for many of us, we like look at them and go, oh my goodness, but look at how great they are. You look at sports, you look at basketball. Think of like Kobe Bryant. Like, look at Kobe Bryant when he used to play. Look at, oh my goodness, on the court, we're seeing the highlight reel of him making a conscious decision of waking up at 4 a.m. every single day working out. Every single day. Like, oh, I want to be like that. I want to do that great thing. I want to shoot that basketball like that. He has done that hundreds of thousands of times so that he can make that one big shot at the end. There's all these little yeses and all this blood, sweat, and tears. That's why I love watching documentaries of famous people who are really talented, because you begin to see just a snippet of their reality, of their every single day struggle. They're humans just like any one of us. Every single day. Sometimes we even look at the Bible. We look at people like Daniel in the Bible. We're like, oh my goodness, I want to have faith like Daniel. I mean, he was in the lion's den and he didn't even waver. He was just a boss. He's like, look at the lions looking at him. And God's like, I got you. I'm like, oh, I want to have faith like that. I don't want to be in the lion's den, but I want to have faith like that. That sounds fantastic, right? We look at his highlight reel. We look at this massive thing that happens, but we don't recognize is that for every single day, 3 times a day, he would etch out time to just stop everything and be present with God. Sit with him and talk with him. For years, every single day being present with God. To the moment where it didn't matter where he was, he could still be present with him, even in a lion's den. It's these little beginnings that we begin to start, and over time we begin to see bigger things happen. It starts small. There's a famous basketball coach. He said it's the little things that are vital. Little things make the big things happen. And this coach, what he would do with his college basketball team is that the moment they would walk in the first day of practice, is that they would practice tying their shoes. Because he said, if you can't get that right, then you can't do what I'm going to ask you to do on the court. So here's how you tie your shoes. I love it. You start small and you work at it. And over time, you begin to see God's movement within your life. Now, all that's fine and dandy, but how do we make that happen? We focus. We focus on this phrase, one thing. Scripture talks about it all over the place. We're going to look at a couple of them here right now. The scripture talks about this phrase, one thing. One thing. That for so many of us, we have so many things that we never get anything done. You feel me? But if we focus on one thing, we can begin to take a next step because we are focused. David, in the Old Testament, he says this in Psalm 27:4. He says, the one thing I ask the Lord, the one thing that I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. The one thing for David, he has so many things. He's king over Israel. He's got so many things. But the one thing that he's focused on is I want to be present with God. That's his one thing. The question is for you, what's your one thing? For 2018, what's your one thing? What's your one thing? What is it? That's his one thing. I'm going to focus in and I want to be present with God. Or you look at the person in Paul in the New Testament. And Paul, he's another one of those icons, right? He's just a man of faith. This dude was shipwrecked, beaten, left for dead, snake bitten, hungry, stoned. Multiple times he was stoned. Not high. Rocks being thrown at his body. Different kind of stoning. Not nice. Nobody's laughing and eating Funyuns. He is crying because it hurts, right? Multiple times having rocks hitting him. That's horrible. And he survived. You don't survive that looking pretty, by the way. You survive that by not looking good. And so it's just on top of that, he's not looking good. And people are like, whoa, what's up with that guy? This guy got wrecked. And yet he's focused. Look at what he says here. I love this. He says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on what? This one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us. That was his focus. It didn't matter if he was getting bitten by snakes on a ship that wasn't moving and crashing or getting rocks chucked at his body. It didn't matter what was happening. It didn't matter what was going on or he has a debate in Athens or whatever he was doing, putting up tents or whatever. It didn't matter because he had one thing that he was focused in on. What's your one thing? Because sometimes if we don't have a thing that we're focusing on, if we don't have that one thing, there's a bunch of things that can grab our attention and we become distracted. And we see that happening with Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10. Check this out. It says this. It says, as Jesus and his disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. It's a Valley Girl voice, right? Verse 41. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you're worried and upset over all these details, over all this stuff. Verse 42. There's only what? One thing worth being concerned about. And Mary's discovered it and it will not be taken away from her. And that's what? Sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to him teach. But there's all this other stuff. No. There's one thing I want you to focus in on. One thing. There's another time with a very wealthy, successful young business person. And this guy wanted to follow Jesus, and the only problem was his material possessions were holding him back from missing out the most important thing in his life, which is being with Jesus. This is what happens. He says, we're looking at the man, and Jesus felt genuine love for him. But I think it's so cool. He just feels for this man. And Jesus says, there's still one thing you haven't done. And he told him, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. In other words, you've got all this stuff that's distracting you from the one thing that matters most. Let go of that stuff so that you can follow that one thing that matters most. That one thing. What is your one thing that God is calling you to for 2018? Very simple. Think about it. Over the next couple of days, let's make Sunday the cutoff because 2018 shows up, and it's not like it's, whatever. But let's just say by Sunday, take time to pray, take time to talk to God and say, God, what's one word for me for 2018? What's one word? And then back that up with a verse. Or better yet, read scripture and allow God to speak to you And when you stumble across a verse or whatever it may be as you're reading and it sticks out to you, find a word within that and let that be your one thing you focus on. A couple years ago, I did this and it was fantastic. The one word that I had was rest. I was working, doing all this stuff, and I was just tired, exhausted, couldn't handle it. And so I read a verse. It said, "Be still and know that I am God." And when I read that, I was like, and then I felt like God saying, "Sean, your word for this year, rest. I want you to rest." And so I took a nap for 365 days. No, that's not what I mean. But what happened was that I wrote it down and I put it on a piece of paper and stuck it somewhere where I always look at it every day. Rest. Be still. Know that I am God. Okay, today, that's what I'm going to do. How am I going to do that today? Where am I going to find the time to do that today? And what's it going to look like? I don't know. We're going to start small. We're going to work with it. 10 minutes here, 5 minutes there, 30 seconds here, whatever. I'm going to find time to focus in and be still with God. And slowly, over the days, it progressed to a thing where it became a daily rhythm, a weekly rhythm, a monthly rhythm, a quarterly rhythm, and an annual rhythm, to where the moment I rest my head on the pillow was the start of my day, because I start my day from rest. Genesis 1, chapter 1, you notice that the start of every day is when the sun sets. And evening and morning was the first day, and evening and morning was the second day, and evening and morning was the third day. What's going on there? It means that the start of your day is when you go to bed. We are not working to rest. We are working from rest. And it's in that place of rest that we actually become more productive, right? Oh my goodness. We're not so overly worked. And all the stuff from every single day to taking a weekly Sabbath. Now, Sabbath is something that you don't have to do. But it's healthy. I mean, when God created the world, right? He rested on what? The seventh day. Why? Because he was tired? No, because he's setting up a rhythm that's in place for us to thrive and to thrive well. And so for me, I began to take that and take a day of just doing nothing and turning everything off and being with family. And then monthly, I would find time to just get away a half a day and just find rest. And then quarterly, I would find more extended time. Than annually, I would take like a week off and just disconnect. And I'm telling you, these little things allows me to, it's just leaps and bounds better because of it. So the question for you is, what's your one word? Maybe it's generosity. Maybe it's discernment. Maybe it's healing. Maybe it's love. Maybe it's discipline. And suddenly you're focusing on discipline and you start noticing that the Spirit of God is empowering you to become more disciplined, saying no to the things that you need to say no to and saying yes to the things you need to say yes to, right? Or maybe it's extra. Maybe the word's extra, and you're going to, when it comes to every little thing that you're doing a little bit extra. You're going to better that a little bit more. Or maybe for you, it's details. You're not really good with details, but now you're going to start following some details. And so you're going to ask God, this for this next year, details is what I'm going to focus in on. Or maybe for some of you, it's relationships. You notice that your relationships are strained, that you've got some broken relationships that you need to work on. And so when it comes to that, I'm going to focus in on relationships and I'm going to allow God's word to speak over me every single day as it pertains to loving one another. You see, when we focus in on this and we do this, at the end of the next year, someone's going to come up to you and be like, "Oh my goodness, you are such a good friend. Tell me, what's the secret sauce? What's the big thing that I need to learn?" And our response will just simply be, "Honestly, there's no big thing. It's just that every day God put a small thing in front of me and I said yes to it." What's your one word? Focus in on it. Don't be bummed out at the small beginnings and know that the Holy Spirit is empowering you. every single step of the way. So may 2018 be a better year as you are with God and He is with you. Amen? Let's pray. God, I thank you for how you move and work in our lives. I thank you for 2017, good or bad. May we learn from all of it. May we allow 2017 to be our teacher and learn from the things that we succeeded in, learn in the things that we failed in. And so as we examine that and then begin to look forward to 2018 and learn from our mistakes and learn from our wins, may we take this time for the next couple of days and focus in on one thing, that one word. What is that word for my life for 2018? And so, God, we sit, we wait, we take time to read your word, we take time to examine what's going on within nature around us. Speak to us. Communicate to us. Most importantly, within all of this stuff, as good as it is to focus, the most important part is to be with you. So in it, may we not get lost in the doing of things, but we recognize that we are with you this whole time. And in 2018, maybe for us, that one word or phrase is with you. We want to be with you. If that's the case, so be it. Because there ain't no better place to be than with you. Love you, Jesus. So much. In your name, we all said?
Amen. Amen.